الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن اشكر لله. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يسروا ولا تعسروا، بشروا ولا تنفروا. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable ulama ikram, elders and brothers, young friends in Islam, and sisters who may be listening over the receivers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us a unique opportunity on a Friday to discuss some aspects relevant to our connection with Him, relevant to our spirituality, relevant to our objective and purpose of existence. And therefore we must use this opportunity. Wallah, it is a unique opportunity for the speakers, and it is a unique opportunity for the audiences as well, to imbibe within their hearts the teachings and practices that are given out from the members just on a Friday. Can you imagine if we just had to implement and practice upon all the teachings that we listen to, not from any other program, just from the Jummah lectures of our lives, what wonderful individuals we would be, and what a wonderful place the world would be. Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzoob Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that kamyabi to kaam se banti hai, na ke husne kalam se banti hai, zikr ke iltizam se banti hai, fikr ke ihtimam se banti hai. Success is acquired by putting into action, by imbibing, by implementing, by practicing. Success is not acquired by delivering a wonderful lecture or attending a good bayan. Success is not acquired like that. Success is acquired when we put into practice. And therefore, we must use this unique opportunity as an opportunity to imbibe and to put into practice whatever we speak about and whatever we hear. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. I thought of dedicating today's discussion to some advices which Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam gave to his son. And the reason why I thought that we should discuss this was that this might be points that are very relevant and pertinent to us, and there might be points that are affecting us in the light of our interaction with various sectors of the community. I thought this might be of most relevance, and therefore chose to discuss these particular advices that Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam gave to his son. And these are the advices that are recorded in the hadith. There are some advices that he gave his son which are recorded in the Holy Quran. These are some of the advices that he gave his son which are recorded in the ahadith. Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, there is a difference of opinion about whether he was a Nabi or he was a Hakim, a wise person. And the majority of the scholars say that he was not a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was not a prophet or an apostle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he was a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with an immense amount of wisdom and hikmat. Be that as it may, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dedicated an entire chapter in the Quran Sharif to Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam, which is called Surat Luqman. It is called Surat Luqman. It is in the 21st juz of the Holy Quran. But the very first point that we can take and lesson that we can take from the advices that he gave his son is that irrespective of his status in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, irrespective of his level of hikmat and wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with, and irrespective of the fact that his son was being brought out in that house which was full of wisdom, he still found it necessary to advise his son. He still found it necessary and important to impart some advice to our son, to his child. And that is perhaps the first lesson and most important lesson that we need to take from this. We are responsible for our children. It is not sufficient for us to have children, to send them to school, to give them an upbringing, give them food to eat, water to drink, give them some form of entertainment and holiday, and when the time is right, then get them married, and that's the end of it. It's not sufficient for us to be doing only that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, addressing the believers, he says, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا, that, oh, believers, you save yourself and your families, close family, distant family, save them from the fire of Jahannam. Save them from the fire. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, he mentions, and he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used such a parable here, that it is difficult for anyone to say that he has advised his child enough, that he has given his child enough of advice, he has given him enough of a good upbringing. It is difficult for a person to say that. Because he says, if a person, let us take an example and say that there is a young little toddler, and that toddler is attracted by a fire that is burning in front of it, and it's crawling away to that fire. So does a real mother consider it sufficient to say that, better don't go towards the fire, come away, come away, come back, don't go towards the fire? And if the child, and if someone has to say to the mother that, you know what, lady, we have, your child is going towards the fire. So will the real mother say that, you know what, I explained to him, but he's not listening, what must I do? Until that mother does not go and physically pick that child up and take him far away from the fire, until then that mother is never at ease. She is not at peace with herself. That is how and the extent to which we need to care for our children and save them from the fire of Jahannam. That is the very first lesson that we need to take, is that we need to impart good advice. Be role models for our children. It shouldn't ever be that a Muslim father has to tell his child, and I've heard this, that's why I'm saying, that, son, don't do what I do, do what I tell you to do. Why? Because in his practical life, there is no example that he can show to his child. It shouldn't ever be like that. One father told me that, Maulana, my child, every day he gets up 2-3 in the morning. So I said, then you must be having a very restless night. He said, no, I sleep fine, Maulana. So he said, I said, how is that? Your child is awake. He said, I give him the iPad and I turn the other side and sleep. So if that is the type of upbringing that we're going to give our children, then al-aman wal-hafidh. So nevertheless, despite the fact that that child was born in the house of hikmat and wisdom, and that hikmat of wisdom was recognized by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also by dedicating an entire surah of the Quran Sharif to that, despite that, Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam still found it necessary to advise his son. Nevertheless, in this particular narration, the first bit of advice that Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam gave his son was that, oh my son, إِذَا كُنْتَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فَحْفَظْ قَلْبَكَ. When you are in salah, and when you are communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then exercise a great amount of concentration and dedication in your salah. فَحْفَظْ قَلْبَكَ. Exercise a great amount of concentration and dedication in your salah. The successful believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them and says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are those who concentrate in their salah. They are dedicated towards the conversation that they are having with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their salah. And that is something that we need to do if we want to seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to develop. We can't be performing salah like we performed salah when we were 13 and 12 and 14 and 15. If there's anything, then there's regression. We're going backwards. Every salah, there must be an improvement. We must be communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is difficult. It's not an easy task. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةً إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. This salah is difficult except upon those who exercise dedication, concentration in their salah. And how do you do it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They are those who concentrate on the akhirah. If you focus on the akhirat, on the hereafter, automatically you will be able to exercise a higher level of concentration and dedication in salah. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised one of the sahaba who asked for advice. He says, O my sahabi, إِذَا صَلَّيْتَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاةَ مُوَدِّعٍ. When you perform salah, then perform the salah of a person who is bidding farewell. Of a person who is bidding farewell to the dunya. In other words, perform your salah as though it is your last and final salah. Normally, a person doesn't come to know when he's going to die. So many people, there are so many sudden deaths that happen, and a person doesn't know when he's going to die. But there are some instances and circumstances around which a person gets some sort of idea that, you know what, it might be the last lap of my life. Like if a person is about to be executed. So when a person is about to be executed, and if they have to tell that person that, you know what, you perform 2 rakats of salah, then can you imagine the concentration and dedication that this person will perform his salah with? That is the level of concentration and dedication that all of us are being asked to perform our salah with. And Ajib, it comes to mind one of the things which Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to say. He says the Sahaba also did business. What do we think, that the Sahaba didn't do business? There wasn't money in those days. The rich amongst the Sahaba will make the richest in the world today also feel poor. In one sitting, just to give you an analysis of that, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the occasion of the Battle of Tabuk, he pledged 300 camels fully laden, with full of provisions, full of artillery of the time for that battle. Now, if you have to conservatively convert that into rands and cents in today's times, those 300, how much is a camel nowadays? Say about 20,000 rands. 10 camels means 200,000. 100 camels means 2 million rands. Right? That's only the camel, not laden and all of that. 300 camels means 6 million rands. Fully laden with all the artillery, with all the provisions that was needed. Let's say 10 million rands conservatively altogether, 6 and another 4. For him to part with 10 million rands in one sitting like that, Because of which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down from the minbar and he said, Ma ala Uthman ma amila ba'da hadha. Ma ala Uthman ma amila ba'da hadha. Uthman does not have to worry about what he does after this day. This deed and act of his is sufficient for his najat and salvation. But he would have had money to give that. So the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they also engaged in business. But that business was ibadat. That business they regarded as ibadat. They regarded it as ibadat. And therefore, after conducting that business in the morning hours when they came for salah, which was also an ibadat, then they were just changing the form of ibadat. This is what Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say. From one form of ibadat, they were just entering another form of ibadat. So that level of concentration and dedication was already there. But unfortunately, we regard business to be something that is totally divorced from ibadat and religious culture. And that should not be the case for a Muslim and a believer. Every act of his is ibadat. Every act of his is ibadat. Even though we live in a world where economic activity and commercial activity is regarded to be divorced from spirituality. But for a Muslim, that is not the case. That is not the case. And it is ironic that they write still on every dollar bill, "In God we trust." If you have to look at a dollar bill, then it says every dollar bill has got "In God we trust." But when it comes to earning and spending those dollars, when it comes to giving our word to someone, then we hardly consult the rules and guidelines of that God who we claim we trust in. So, this is something that we need to bring into our lives. Concentration and dedication in salah. The next bit of advice that he gave his son, he said to him that, "Oh my child, إِذَا كُنْتَ مَعَ النَّاسِ فَحْفَظْ لِسَانَكَ." When you are with people, oh my child, then look after your tongue. Look after your tongue. And there are different ways of looking after our tongue. But even before that, there is a hadith in which Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, a very intelligent sahabi, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a very intelligent question. Ya Rasulullah, give me something, some bit of advice through which I will get closer to Jannat, further away and distant away from the fire of Jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a lot of advice. A lot of advice in that hadith. And towards the end of the hadith, a lengthy hadith, he said, "Oh Mu'adh, you want me to tell you the gist of all of these things? The gist of all of this advice that I have given you that will take you closer to Jannah, distant you away from the fire of Jahannam?" Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Bala ya Rasulullah, of course. Ya Rasulullah, tell me that." So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam grabbed hold of his tongue, like this. And he said, "Ya Mu'adh, kuffa alayka hadha." Oh Mu'adh, control this. Control this tongue of yours. Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Ya Rasul, wa inna lam mu'akhadun bima natakallamu bihi. Ya Rasulullah, are we going to be taken to task because of the utterances of our tongue?" Hazrat Mu'adh, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Thaqilatka ummuka ya Mu'adh." Oh Mu'adh, what are you talking about? I'm just giving you a gist of the translation in our colloquial. What are you talking about, oh Mu'adh? "Wahal yakubbu an-nas fi nari jahannam ala manakhirihim illa hasa'idu al-sinatihim." Is there anything else that will cause a person to be flung headlong into the fire of Jahannam other than the harvest of his tongue? Is there anything else more than that? Now we need to break it down so that we understand. So many things, there are different things. Many a times we restrict the utterances of our tongue to swear words, to cursing people. We restrict it to lying, to backbiting, to cheating, to deceiving. Those are also very serious offenses of the tongue. But in our times, we can extend it to even just speaking about hearsay. Anything that we heard, we go and tell someone else about it. Any message that we receive, we go and forward it without any verification. We have to learn to verify before we amplify. Verify before we amplify. Verify before we amplify. It's extremely important. These, every single utterance, every single forward message, it is not sufficient to write at the end of a message that as received. That doesn't. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is sufficient for a man to be called a liar that he just passes on every little thing that he hears. So we should be careful about these utterances of our tongue. Sometimes the tone in which we express something, the tone in which we express something and say something, that is incorrect. That falls under the category of looking after our tongue. Many a times we are doing something good, we are trying to reform someone else, but the tone in which we do it is not beneficial for the situation. I'll imagine the situation where there couldn't have been a person who was worse than Fir'aun in his time. There couldn't have been a person that was worse than him. And he claimed uluhiyyah, divinity he claimed. He killed the boys. He let the girls live. He did so much of zulm and oppression on the earth. And there couldn't have been a person who was closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his time than Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who was called Kalimullah. Yet, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him and his brother Harun to go to Fir'aun and advise him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَا, that O Musa and Harun, when you speak to them, speak to him with softness and kindness. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى, perhaps he will take that advice. What is this in the community that has come to us, that we feel that we have a right to judge the next person? Become judgmental on the next. Who gives us that right to judge them? And because of that, there is so much of division that is being created in the community. We don't need that division anymore. It all falls under this, looking after our tongues. There was a person in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'll just terminate on this. There's a number of advices that Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam gave his son, but I'll terminate on this because the time has ended. That there was a person in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was known as Abdullah. And people used to call him Himar. Himar means donkey. But donkey not because, as in a sarcastic or derogatory manner. Donkey because he had a very strong body. And he used to do hard labor, hard work. So because, and وَكَانَ يُضْحِكُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He used to make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laugh. So on one occasion, he went to the marketplace and he seen something in the marketplace, either it was some fat or some clothing or some honey, and he felt that, you know, I need to buy some of this for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went and he bought it. He negotiated with the person. He told the person, look here, I don't have the money now. You follow me and I'll pay you for it. So the seller also said, okay, this person took possession of it. He went straight to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knocked on the door and he said, Ya Rasulullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was happy to see him. He welcomed him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I brought this gift for you. I purchased it from the market. So, and he knew at the back of his mind, he didn't have money to pay for it. He knew at the back of his mind that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets a gift, he normally compensates, he gives something else as a gift. So with that, I'll pay for the honey. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the gift, he liked it, he took it with him, and he didn't give him anything. So this sahabi, he said, Ya Rasulullah, the seller is behind me. If you don't mind, can you pay for it? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed. He said to him, "Oh my son, you give me a gift and you're asking me to pay for it?" Nevertheless, he paid for it. But that's not the point I want to get to you now. The same Abdullah, he had a habit, a bad habit of drinking. He used to drink alcohol and he was caught drinking alcohol and he was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the fate of drinking alcohol or the punishment was meted out to him a number of times. 40 lashes or whatever it was, he was lashed by the other Sahaba on the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the third or fourth occasion that he was brought, and whilst the Sahaba were lashing him for this mistake that he made, one Sahabi said to the other Sahabi, Allahumma al-anhu, oh Allah, curse him. How much is he brought here? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam overheard this conversation. He overheard this conversation. He said to them, La tal'anhu, do not curse him. Wallah, I only know that he loves Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was something else. Can you imagine? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept that act and mistake of his separate. That was something else in which he was making a mistake. He did not allow the Sahaba to now start judging him because of this particular act. That was a mistake that he made. He himself did not say that, you know what, you are a drinker and I'm not going to accept your gift. That was something else. These are akhlaq and character of the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sunnat is not only to dress like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not only to do certain acts like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the greatest sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to imbibe in your lives the character and the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is saying. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam said to his son, إِذَا كُنْتَ مَعَ النَّاسِ فَحْفَظْ لِسَانَكَ. When you are with people, watch your tongue. Look after your tongue. And there are different ways in which we slip with regards to the tongue. There's no time to go into the details. But if we use the opportunity of Jummah to just think about it a little bit. Ponder, reflect. Allah Ta'ala says we must reflect about things. We reflect about everything else. But we don't reflect about these important aspects of our lives which will help us to improve. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. May he remove the calamities, the difficulties that the ummah around the world is suffering with. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.